All right, hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
This is the first episode all over again.
I'm Heather.
I'm Laura.
This is Sweet, Sweet Death. Again, where we aim to bum you out. Fairly unremarkable week for me. You stated so yourself as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Today, I don't know, we cleaned our backyard. I'm going to smoke a bunch of meat tomorrow. It was supposed to be today, and then, like, things just got crazy, but, like... Oh, God, I made this crazy shit. Okay, so I've been having some culinary adventures because I'm at home, I'm bored. So I made something called zongzi, and it's this, like, Chinese rice dumpling. It's bananas. Well, first off, make sure it's, like, winter or something, because our house jumped up probably, like, really 15 hot? Degrees. It was, like, a sauna, because you have to simmer it for 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
So it was so goddamn hot here. Like, I was, like, sweating. I'm, like, you know, like, I'm doing the shirt thing where I'm, like, trying to get airflow, because I was, like, I think I'm going to fucking pass out. And then, so, like, you have to soak the rice overnight. You have to, because you have to wrap them in bamboo leaves, you have to soak the bamboo leaves the night before, too, and then, like...
Where do you get bamboo leaves
from? The Asian market. Really? Yeah, so the one on Platt and Wooten. And then, what is it? Oh, so, and then I had to marinate pork belly for it. So, I'm sure you can make it vegan, but, like...
Yeah.
So, I chopped up all this pork belly. I marinated it for overnight. And then the next day, you're supposed to marinate the rice in, like, a soy sauce and something else. I don't remember. And then you, like... I don't know. You just fill it with this rice and this pork belly. You can put vegetables in it. And then you wrap it with string and, like... So I burned through so much string, like that giant ball of kitchen twine. I think I used like half of it. It was nuts how much I needed. Mm. I'm like slowly wrapping it. It took me, when it was all said and done, probably 3.5 hours just to like get it all together, wrap it up, and then shove it all into a pan and like fill it and boil it.
Was it really good?
It was the best fucking thing I've ever had in my life. So yeah, that was
I made a really good lasagna last night, like just best fucking lasagna I've ever made. But I went to Sprouts and I went to like random interviews. Hopefully no one I work with listens to this. I didn't take either of the jobs, but I went to Decadence, which I don't know if you've heard of them, or Decadent Dessert Bar. I don't know. They're up by Sprouts. After I went to their interview though, I went to Sprouts and they were like, so when I was a kid, I used to go to like the gas station, obviously I feel like everyone did, and got those little like chocolate cones. Mm-hmm. I found some that were like vegan, like caramel chocolate, whatever. They were so bomb, but it was like $10 for three.
Worth every bite. I mean, it's still cheaper probably because like vegan stuff is so expensive. It's still probably cheaper to like buy it individually than like fully together, right?
I don't know. Anyways, I found a thing of like vegan ricotta. It was $10, and then a thing of like mozzarella, and then I got all these weird different vegan cheeses and made a lasagna.
Fuck yeah. Nice. And then something else I made that was pretty extreme. I made a Japanese thing called chashu. So it's like this, again, okay, so we did not realize pork belly is not that expensive at the Asian market, so we kind of went crazy. So we've been buying, this is like the fourth time we've bought pork belly in like probably 3 weeks. So... we've lost our minds. But it's like you take pork belly. I didn't realize you're supposed to cut the skin off, so I kind of accidentally like cooked it with the skin of the pig on. But whatever, you know. So you're supposed to like pound the shit out of it, and then you salt and pepper, and then you roll it. Have to do like a butcher's knot and tie a string, and that butcher's knot, dude, I had to play YouTube. So like you've done origami, right? You said on YouTube. Yeah. And I had to do that thing where like you keep having to jump back like 20 or 30 seconds going, what the fuck did you do with your fingers? Like, how did you do that? And I kept embarrassingly like having to go like just hit it back. And because I had pork hands, so I'm like having to use like my pinky knuckle to try to like go back every single time. And like, I mean, I ended up getting it and it looked beautiful. Then you like, I don't know, you boil that you fry it. Then you boil it for an hour. Then you simmer it. You like cover it and you simmer it in a soy sauce wine mixture thing. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was also good too. And then like I made these soy sauce eggs that come with it. I went kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then so these soy sauce eggs, I soft boiled them, I took them out of the shell, and then you soak them in the soy sauce marinade, and it just like turns the egg brown, and then you've got like this soy sauce egg.
Interesting.
It was really, really good.
That sounds good. Making me hungry.
Sorry. And then I heard something. I was watching a bunch of like weird tattoo, like, I don't know, inked YouTube video things, and a guy said that he heard of someone that specialized in vagina tribal tattoos, where it was like He's like, you know how some people specialize in like big back pieces sometimes, yeah. or like, oh, I write Japanese or American traditional. He's like, God bless the man that like found such a niche job title of like he specializes specifically in vagina tribal tattoos. And everyone's like, you know, bravo. I
didn't know there was really...
I didn't know either, but apparently there's a field for it, and now there's an expert that you can turn to if you ever need a vagina tribal tattoo.
Okay.
I'm not planning on it, but now that's something... I didn't look it up.
I'm excited for my tattoo. It's coming up soon.
I forgot. When are you?
October 21st.
Okay. Where are you?
I'm going to this dude in Denver.
Nice.
Jason Oz.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you like, is it a surprise, like what it's going to be? Or are you telling people what you're getting?
I haven't told you. I feel like I've told you, but you probably have. I'm getting a clicker.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, cool.
And I'm super excited. But
where is it again? It's going to be a forearm?
Yeah. I'm going to get it on my forearm.
Ooh. Right here. Okay. I'm going to look him up so I can. I'm so curious. I would love to see his stuff.
I'll have to send you him.
Please do. Because I'm like tattoo envy.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
Yep.
It's getting closer and closer.
So I typed in, okay, because you always, sometimes you come in your awesome little demon slipper shoes, and like Mary's really jealous of them. And so her birthday passed, she already got some stuff, but I feel like we could have gotten her some different things. So we were, well, first I was like, let me look at these slippers. So I did find them.
Yeah.
But I think it was funny because at first I typed in demon slippers just into like the general Google search engine, and Hot Topic popped up. And then I was like, oh, what kind of demon slippers do Hot Topic have? So I clicked on it and it came up. It was like a fucking Lilo and Stitch pair of slippers and Dragon Ball Z slippers. And I was like, why would this be under the demon slipper search? Like, this is fucking garbage.
Yeah.
And then like, so like another weird algorithm thing I got. So on Netflix. Okay. So I loved that High Score game. It was called High Score. It's a little docuseries about the history of video games, like starting in Japan. It's really, really cool. It's like animated in such a cool little way. And I mean, it's like, you know, regular interviews and stuff, but they have these cool little like high pixelated animations all throughout to like represent part of the story. It's just really, really cool. And it could just be the fact that maybe I love cartoons and like shiny bright lights and stuff. But so it was really, really engaging. But so like when it said, oh, because you watched High Score, like a similar suggestion that it had for me was cat people. And I was like, what the fuck? And at first I was like, that's so random. And then I realized that most people who are obsessed with gaming are probably like introverted losers with
cats.
They probably have cats. I was like, that's a very smart suggestion. I was like, I do have three cats. that's really all that there is.
Yeah, I don't think... I was just trying to think. Nothing really exciting happened to me either, so...
God damn it, we have to be more interesting than this.
Share. I don't know.
Why are we lame?
Oh, I got... What is today?
The 29th, Sunday.
I just remembered I was invited to some... old man's birthday party at Skate City, who's always there. He's turning 75.
Is that the dude with the crazy hat? He rides like a weird bike and he's always got like these crazy
that's
hats
not him
on.
But he has like a hat with like the weird, like it's like the containers you put french fries in.
Yeah,
like just like weird shit. No, not him, but
damn it,
this other old man. He's just like normal, actually, but
that's too bad.
He just skated up to me. He's like, young lady, I'd like to invite you to my birthday party. And then he gave me a little invitation, and then I was like, oh.
Okay.
Now I just remembered it's tonight, but...
Do you think you're going to go?
I don't know. I doubt he'll notice if I went or not, but...
Yeah. But what if there's pizza? What time is the party supposed to start?
It said it was going to be hot and cold hors d'oeuvres, and...
Oh.
I think 8 to 11.
You still got time?
I was planning on skating after this, so...
I think you should. Is it, like, adult night? What time do children have to stop going?
I think it might be adult night, but I think it's going to be at the other Austin Bluffs, too. And they said they're going to play 70s and 80s music.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. But and also then I don't know if I like need to get him a gift now that I'm thinking about this.
Like,
what do I get? I literally don't know him. I know his name is Cliff, and he drives the same car as me. And he was in the Vietnam War?
Oh, probably.
Or he has stickers on the back of his car.
It's like definitely Vietnam. Vietnam, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring him, like, an Elsa mug that we have in our cabinet? This is for you.
Here you go.
There's, like, old lipstick stain on it.
Too bad that I just remembered.
You could... No, I don't know.
Yeah,
you can get him a gift card, and that's about it, probably. Yeah. Dutch Brothers gift card.
I was just thinking about how awkward that would be. I don't know.
To like, walk in with no present, or just to go in general? I don't know. Do you even know his name?
Cliff.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like it might be weird, and, yeah, I don't know. I don't like socializing, so who knows?
Right.
I might just go to the other one and forget about it.
You're gonna abandon Cliff? Poor Cliff.
Oh well, I'm sure. What if no one goes?
I'm just kidding. That's that my would fear. Be
what
so
if I'm
sad.
The only one that shows up, or what if no one goes?
I mean, what if you just drove by? If the parking lot's packed, plenty of people for him to celebrate his birthday
yeah.
with. So. And when did he give you this invitation?
Like a week ago.
That's so last minute. You could be like, my work had me go in. I'm sorry,
and
Cliff.
I do work early, so I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, you were still going to go, though, right?
Yeah.
Were you going to go from 8 to 10?
No, I was just going to go from, like, whenever we're done, just head over there, just skate for, like, an hour or something, and then go home since, yeah.
Yep. Son of a bitch, dude.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I think we're going to get started. We're... past the chit-chat, the jibber-jabber. We're getting down to business.
Yeah.
Mostly because we're boring and we don't have anything to talk about. So I'm going to have to start mine off with a disclaimer. So we are kind of jumping into Oregon just to see what they've got. And I knew for a long time I was going to do the Shanghai tunnels. I don't remember how many years ago, but we went on the Shanghai Tours tunnels. And it was super exciting. You go down, you get to see the tunnels, these like little holding cells and stuff. And it was like, this is amazing. They're telling us all this shit. So even though much of the stories told about Shanghaiing and the dark history of Portland have been presented on many platforms as historically accurate, it's important to note that of the information gathered, most of it was done so orally. So very little information was gathered. Done so by physical records, so there's nothing physical that necessarily proves that these were true accountings of like what happened. So there are, because at first when I saw the first like naysayer website, I was like, fools, of course this happened.
Yeah.
And then looking into it, it seemed like more and more that scholars and historians were like, they just questioned, you know, the validity of the sources. And just without much evidence to present, that there's no real way to prove how much of the stories have just been embellished over the years. Like, it's just totally turned into myth. So it's hard to tell kind of what I'll be presenting to you, if it's going to be fact or fiction. But, you know, I think part of this process, too, is even if we don't want it to be true, that it could be true. So it's about learning and growing and whatever the fuck else. But I'm really pissed that like this thing for, I think, at least a decade.
How long, yeah.
I've been telling people about this crazy shit in Portland. And it's not to say crazy shit didn't happen in Portland. It did.
Yeah.
But like the tunnels themselves probably were not used in the way that they've been told, like that we've been told that they were used. So like it was about smuggling, but very little in the way of like human trafficking. So, okay. So the sources that I used, the Tillamook Headlight Herald, I think that's a newspaper, OregonLive.com, HistoryOfYesterday.com, PortlandTunnels.com, and then there was a little episode on the History Channel of, it was like underground things, something underground, like I don't know, it was a History Channel, it was like 15 years ago. It was really cool, but they kind of go through the tunnels and everything, the labyrinth of tunnels, and I don't think I'm telling this very well. So the source... of the rise of the use of the Shanghai tunnels. And just remember, this could somewhat be speculation. The source of the res of the use of the Shanghai tunnels begins with the Opium Wars and the forcing of the opening of the Shanghai ports in China. So today I will be discussing the men and women that were possibly captured and sold as slaves to the open sea between 1850 and 1941. So high society once called Portland the City of Roses. The rest of the nation referred to it as the Forbidden City of the West. So the earliest tunnels were probably dug out by Chinese merchants to conceal and smuggle opium. Though opium was legal at the time, it was highly taxed. So the tunnels were a good way to kind of avoid that. And then another purpose for the tunnels was to avoid law enforcement if an establishment was operating illegally and were to suddenly be raided. So, yeah, there was, like, apparently a ton of just gambling and brothels and debauchery and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Fun.
And then it was said for a long time that the tunnels went all the way to the Willamette River. So here's the lame thing about Portland. Like, as weird and fun as Portland is, as much as we'd love to think that it was episode after episode of Portlandia, they do call Willamette, they pronounce it Willamette. I don't know why. Willamette. It sounds like super hick when I say Willamette. So there's that. And then, like, because, you know, it's like the same with Prescott, Arizona. It's Prescott. Like, okay, fucking whatever. And then they have, like, in Portland also, there's a Couch Street, but they don't pronounce it couch. They pronounce it cooch. I'm not making cooch. That up. So you will have old people saying Cooch Street.
Oh, my God.
It's a nightmare. But with the demolition of several businesses that would have led to the river, there's really no way to prove that the tunnels actually went all the way down to the river. But some people say that was how they got, like, goods from the harbor into the city without having to, like, go through mud and shit like that. But it probably wasn't. Again, the tunnels weren't really as accessible to the water as, like, people like to think that they were. So, again, like, the whole source of, like, where the issue started. So, like, with the Shanghai ports being opened to the Westerners, ships were trying to get there to import and export goods. But with the gold rush at its peaks, ships were finding it difficult to fill crew positions. So, and the other thing about being on the open sea is that it sucks. So, it's really tough work, it's low wages, and it could take years to finish a voyage. I cannot imagine that. And, like, why would you want to be out in the open ocean when it's, like, there's all this excitement for digging for gold in California, and it's this, like, you know, sinful place, and, like, ooh, there's so many fun things to do, you know, it's the Wild West, essentially. All right, so despite being known as one of the most dangerous ports in the world, many people did find themselves moving through it. Originally, those that kidnapped and sold men were called crimps, and their practice was known as crimping. So because the tunnels were mostly under Portland's, like, Chinatown, that was, like, another reason it was called Shanghaiing, I guess, and that many of the victims were taken to Asia for their voyages, and the act did eventually become known as Shanghaiing. So, and it was a lot easier to kind of, like, steal people. And just that the tunnels really ran through the downtown districts, like Red Light District and everything like that. So, and everything was linked underneath the city. Like, all the tunnels were linked. It's like a crazy, I think they said, like, 5-mile labyrinth or something like that.
God damn it. These tunnels still exist?
They do still exist. A lot of them are closed off. Oh. So, the public doesn't have access. And then, like I said, they do give tunnel tours.
Yeah.
But some, you know, some businesses, the only reason they've been able to do that is with permission from the businesses, because it's still, like, they own it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because of that, they can access it. But apparently there's still, like, a lot of shit they have to go through, because people for, you know, decades and decades, for, you know, like, 100 years have just been using it as storage. Old stuff gets thrown down and collected down there. So they have had to, like, spend a lot of time kind of cleaning it up and trying to organize everything.
Interesting.
Yeah. There were many ways for Shanghaiers to capture people, but the drunker the person was, the easier it was to capture them. So ship owners might hire local riffraff, as one website said. Sorry, it was like riffraff. This makes me feel
like old man was typing it, like,
these riffraff. And I think the same article had the word skullduggery in it, too. So it was like, all right, that's right, doll. So they did hire local riffraff. to capture able-bodied men. Some of the bars that were rumored to have kidnapped people were called Erickson's Saloon, the Snug Harbor Saloon, and Valhalla Saloon. They usually looked for victims of good stock, so that was kind of the whole point, was to kidnap really strong sailors that could, like, work the open sea. So when looking for good stock, they would seize usually loggers, sheep herders, cowboys, local workers, and then even, it's said they even kidnapped, like, other sailors, which defeats the fucking purpose. Like, you're supposed to find guys that don't want to be on boats, like, not guys that are already from the boat, which I thought was silly. So, yeah. Oh, and then some were even snatched off the street, like the Kremlin did in, like, the 80s. Just put a bag over your head and fucking steal you away. But most seem to have been either thumped over the head or drugged. One extreme measure was taking captives by the way of trap doors and other devices. So, yeah, you can look at, like, photos and videos and stuff where the floor just drops out underneath you. And said, like, sometimes holding cells were, like, packed with men, like they were sardines. And that, like, yeah, sometimes you could even be dropped, like, right into a holding cell or something like that. Yeah, kind of crazy. And then it said that women could also be shanghaied if they found themselves at the wrong bar late at night. So, like, yeah, it was real shady. You didn't want to be a woman out in Portland at night. So when they captured women, it was usually referred to as white slavery, but basically it's just, like, sex slavery. They were broken down more mentally than physically, and to avoid too much physical damage, they would keep her in a tight cell in, like, complete darkness, so no light, and then people would come in, like, psychologically break her down, like, tell her she was worthless and shit like that. Yeah, like, in the dark, you're kidnapped.
So weird.
So fucking crazy. So with the men, it usually wasn't too difficult to overpower them, especially when they're, like, really stupid drunk. And it was also with the help of the bartender that the victims would be drugged. So they'd, like, put a little pill in your bottle and then, like, give a signal to somebody that they're ready to be taken. And that they said offering a free beer on the house would actually do the trick to get somebody. If you're, like, super hammered and, like, on the house, to be like, thanks, buddy, and then drink it and be drugged. So once captured, they would be taken to a holding cell for later sale or taken directly to the ship. So some trap doors, even went into the holding cells. And then sometimes they would take the men's shoes from their feet. Clearly, I don't know where else you would take them from. So they would take the men's shoes and they would cover the floor in broken glass to prevent the men from leaving. So even if a man did escape from his captors, all they had to do was follow the trail of blood. Because it's not like the tunnels were well lit, so you're just walking in broken glass trying to find your way out of there. So they would just, like, find you. It wasn't that hard. Like I said, it is a labyrinth. Like, it's not really easy to find exits. I mean, unless it's, like, lit really well. So it said that some shanghaiers were a part of crime syndicates, some were freelancers. So they talked about this one particular shanghaier. They said his name was Joseph Bunko Kelly. Bunko in quotation marks, clearly his street name. According to himself, he kidnapped and sold over 2,000 men and women over a 15-year span. Urban legend has it that he one time sold a wrapped-up man that ended up being a wooden Native American statue, and that even one time he sold 22 dead men. So because they were sometimes, like, wrapped, and they were, like, you know, they were supposed to be unconscious, so they don't know. They probably had to learn to check for, like, pulses after that.
I know, like, what the fuck? They keep getting tricked by this guy, like.
Or he was a loser that just, like, made his own shit up, you know? He just, like, told these crazy, I sold them 22 dead men, you know? Because, like, some other dude said he sold 21 dead men. He'd be like, I sold 22 dead guys. So, yeah, he was probably an asshole. But once out at sea, that's where the real fun began. So once a man regained consciousness, he would, you know, his protest would be rendered useless. A ship's officer would present a knowingly forged contract. So he would state that the victim had no other choice than to work on the ship or be thrown overboard. Okay. So at this point, they've been sailing for, like, hours. And he's just out in the middle of the ocean. So there was the boarding master, but he was also known as the broker. And he didn't mind filling crews by illegal methods. So the broker that, you know, supposedly, like, brought the men on board, he would take a finding fee. So like the enslaved men might get like a little bit of pay, but he would take like the first few months of that pay because he's like, well, I found you and I had to buy you ship supplies. Yeah. So you owe me because I kidnapped you to get you onto this boat. But it's said that like for many men, the voyage, it would take two full voyages for them to get back to Portland, and two full voyages was around 6 years. So, somehow I missed it. But like people that got sold, it would usually be the crimpers or the Shanghaiers would usually get about $50 a head for every person that they sold. So like, yeah, you can see why they're just Shanghaiing people left and right. And it's said that around 1500 people a year were Shanghaied for decades. So even though historians are fairly certain that very few people were smuggled through the tunnels themselves, there were still plenty of people, that were smuggled on the streets and stuff, and the tunnels were used for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. It was definitely used for smuggling goods. It was used for gambling. It was used for opium dens. And like one crazy thing, they did show an opium den, and apparently you could rent a bunk. So it was like three bunks high, and the lowest bunk was the most expensive bunk, so that, you know, it was like the most comfortable or some shit. So, if you wanted to rent a bunk and do a bunch of opium. And then the other, like, so the reason that people, so I'll get into, like, why they think the tunnels probably weren't used for Shanghaiing. So they said most of the year, because of the way where the water breaks or something like that, like, the tunnel would have been submerged in water for, like, I don't know, most of the year. So, like, not the whole tunnel, just the part, like, near the ocean. Like, it wouldn't have been, like, as easy access as they think. Sorry, there was, like, a few other things. Oh, and then, like, old newspapers that were referring to Shanghaiing, they never once mentioned the tunnels, so it wasn't, like, because, like, people would have known about it. I'm sure there would have been rumors of, like, it was really happening, but, like, there was nothing like that, nothing to indicate. And I think the article in this newspaper was written, like, 1913. Yeah. So, like, there would have been word. If it had been happening for 50-plus years, like, someone would have said something to the newspaper guy. So it wasn't until, I think, an article written in, like, 1933... said that they were Shanghaiing in the tunnels, but, like, no real stories. And then this paper in 1965 wrote, like, this huge story on, oh, the Shanghai tunnels this and the Shanghai tunnels that. But, like, without any real proof that, so, like, it happened.
Was, like, the Shanghaiing thing real, but, like, they just weren't sure about the tunnels then, or?
Yeah. Okay. Because, like, people would, I mean, since, like, man created boat, they've been stealing people to sail. Shanghaiing is, like, apparently like this normal thing in history where you would just get you just a slave on the ship, you know, and you're just our bitch now. So that was the Shanghai tunnels, and like you can still, like I said, you can still access it, and there are some places in Portland where it just looks like two metal doors, like it's just going to be a normal, you know, entrance to like tunnels, but it's like the Shanghai tunnels. That's so cool.
I really want to go.
You should. And they do like ghost tours and
that
shit.
Sounds fun. I would love that.
Oh, I bet you would. Yeah, because, like, you know, I'm, like, less interested in the, you know, my stance on ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in them until I hear a strange noise in my house and I'm alone. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a fucking ghost. But otherwise, ghosts do not exist. Only when I'm alone. So,
alone in the dark. And
yeah.
Footsteps.
I have to. Well, like, okay. Because, you know, I've talked about it. Like, I totally smoke weed, but like I was outside so recently, I was like, it just smelled like, I'm trying so hard not to do any inside, but like I have to be very sneaky because I'm trying to, I don't want to do it in front of my kid, you know. So I even have like a special little lock bag. I like try to make sure she doesn't ever see it or catch me, you know, because I think she knows, but we don't really talk about
it. Out of respect.
That's right. Out of respect, we don't talk about it. And I pretend I don't do it. And I lie to her face that I don't do it. And she knows that I'm lying to her. She knows it. But, like, I've been trying to smoke outside. So, like, the other night, it was kind of not really late. It was, like, 10:30, but it was really quiet. And then I just kept hearing a little bit of, like, you know, little quiet nighttime noises.
Yeah.
But I'm outside. I'm already, like, a little high. And I'm like, what was that? And I'd hear another little, like, crack of a twig and be like, what was that? like, I could, I kept like going to smoke a little more. I was like, I can't fucking do this. I can't fucking do this. I went inside. I was like, this is too fucking intense. So
it's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that was the Shanghai tunnels. How exciting. Sweet, and then, yeah, like I said, fun. The biggest disappointment was learning that it,
I know.
I mean, Portland's still like full of, yeah, you know, sinister things, but the tunnels maybe weren't used quite in, yeah, that capacity. Because we were talking about, well, like John and I, we were talking just about the opium dens, and John was like, yeah, I even heard stories that, like, oh, because like down in the tunnels when they have you on the tour, they show this big pile of shoes. So it's like, oh, I bet those were taken. But it was like, okay, the tunnels were kind of operating for like 90 years, right? And like opium dens, apparently a thing that they did was they would take your shoes and then they would tell you, like, okay, like, to make sure you paid up, make sure you paid your whole bill when you left, oh, then you could get your shoes back. So I was like, well, that could explain an excess of shoes. And then it was like, but there's a ton of broken glass, you know? And then it was like, well, during Prohibition, they actually did store quite a bit of liquor down in those tunnels. Like, it could just be broken, yeah, glass. You know how old places just have broken glass? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, it's still hard to explain some of the trapdoors. Yeah. I don't know how you'd get, like, some people said, oh, well, the trapdoors were for quick access to, like, get to the tunnels. But it was like the way they swung open, I'm just not sure how it dropped, yeah, you know? So it was like,
it's like Sweeney Todd. Like.
I've still never seen it. I'm a bad person. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love Johnny Depp. I love, you know, Helena Baumgartner.
Well, you know, like, I mean, he'd like,
oh, I know he
doors
was,
they have and stuff just dropped.
I just know he like slit throats, and that, yeah, was it. The Barbadil, what is it?
The Demon Barber Fleet Street.
Sure.
The Barbadil. What did you say?
You know, the Barbadil. The Barber of Deville. I don't fucking know what the fuck I'm talking. I did smoke weed earlier, so I thought about smoking some before you came, but it was like, I'm already going to humiliate myself enough from like this terrible, now this story where I'm just a liar. I'm just giving you all kinds of fake information.
If I were you, I wouldn't have even said.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have to. As an unprofessional journalist, an amateur sleuth. That's not true. I'm not that interested.
No. I've had stuff like that before where I've like just told so many people about it and then come to find out it's like half true, maybe. I don't know. And then I'm just like,
I will put it in quotes, documentary about this guy that like, it's this expedition to get all this like sunken treasure. So they like go out and it's like the most.
I remember you telling me about this. And like you watch it and you were like,
we're
so
like
amazed.
Mesmerized. I'm like telling people, I'm like, oh my God, this is like the most amazing thing. You have to see it. And then it turned out to be fucking bullshit.
So funny.
Because it ended up being the guy, they just put out this fake documentary so he could like promote his artwork. So it was like his personal art collection, basically, that they threw in the ocean and then collected. It was like, you fucking asshole. Like, I thought this was real. And I even saw, I think it was on Facebook, like the local radio station was like, you guys got to check this documentary out. It was like, I wanted to warn them, be like, no, it's a lie.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. I was like, well, people will fucking figure it out.
It's just like fucking that weird thing. Crazy dude told us to watch where it was like the murder
it was shit.
So fake too. He was like,
what was it called?
Crazy serial killer who the something the
Poughkeepsie files,
yeah,
or
some crap like that. So fake. I could tell it was fake like as soon as I started it, and he's sitting there telling us like, ooh.
Well, because I remember him telling us about it, and we're like, oh, that sounds like really interesting, because you, I don't know, it doesn't seem like you'd lie to our face. I don't think he did, because I really think he's like,
I think he thought it was fucking
real, you know, oh, this is crazy. And then, like, you came in the next day or something, and you were like, I tried to watch that thing. I was like, yeah. She goes, so, it's not real. I was like, oh, because you were like, yeah, I kind of started to, like, laugh when I was watching it, and I was like, this can't be real. Yeah. And then like you looked it up and you were like, yeah, this is total bullshit. And then speaking of bullshit, sorry, this was something, okay, fuck it, like we didn't talk that long earlier. Yeah. So like, okay, because I was looking it up, my friend was telling me, we were chatting on the phone earlier this week, and
yeah,
she was talking about how she went to this restaurant and got this like Kobe beef something, and I was like, oh, like I'm sure it was delicious.
Yeah.
I just need to let you know, like, you definitely did not have Kobe beef.
Yeah.
And she was like, what do you, but it said Kobe beef on the menu. I was like, yeah, it's like, that's absolute fucking bullshit. Like, I even had to double check to make sure, but sorry. So there's only 9 restaurants in the entire U.S. that sell Kobe beef because it's so expensive. And in fact, they said the amount of beef they get of Kobe beef in between all the restaurants that they service is literally 77 Americans are rich enough and privileged enough to dine on Kobe beef like every year.
I feel like I remember you telling me this like so long ago.
Because we were at a wine bar. And they had Kobe beef on their menu. Yeah. And I went on Facebook and I like blasted them on Facebook like a fucking coward. And I was like, there are only certain places in the U.S. that allow Kobe beef. And I was like, you are not one of them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was so long ago. So yeah. And I know like they responded to it and I never looked at it. I was like, I'm not going to look at this. I can't face it. Like, I'm just going to stir the pot. And I've done that run.
Before. Like turn off notifications. Like I don't even want to know like what they replied, but
I said my piece. That's all I wanted to do. And I was like, well, you should just ask them. Cause every single restaurant that serves Kobe beef, they absolutely have to have a certificate. Like, I'm not fucking around. Like, you are required to carry a certificate saying, I sell Kobe beef. So I was like, you should just ask. Like, the next time you're there, be like, oh, by the way, can I see your certificate? And she's like, I don't want to torture the, you know, the poor worker. I was like, but you're not, because he's just going to go get his manager. Like, you can torture that motherfucker. All you have to do is just ask. So, yeah, if you're bored and you know a restaurant serves Kobe beef and you're not in, like, Las Vegas. There's 2 places in Dallas, one in Houston, one in, I almost said one in Texas, one in Houston, one in Dallas. And then, yeah, 1 place in New York, 1 place, 1 or 2 places in California. So yeah, you can look it up. Huh. But like if you want to make sure you're not going to a Kobe beef restaurant, if you're at a place that serves tacos and they also have Kobe beef on the menu, they don't serve Kobe beef.
I'd just be like confrontational and be like, excuse me.
Like snap. Excuse me? Hello? Yes? I have questions about this Kobe beef. They'd be like, this fucking bitch over at table 3. She's been drinking fucking White Claws all fucking night, and now she wants to fight with us. She's vegan. She doesn't even eat meat. Why does she want to... Fuck. Okay. Kobe beef rant over. Okay. Fuck. All right. So, did you want to begin yours?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us all about it.
Okay. So, I did mine on the murders of Lava Lake, or the Lava Lake murders. I don't really know how to refer to it, but I actually, okay, so like, as you know, I'm obsessed with unsolved mysteries, and I actually remember like seeing this one or like hearing it, because I used to just play them like when I would get home, like on TV, like this weird guy who's like, and then the mystery, like he just like had this like monotone voice the whole time, but yeah. I would just listen to like tons of unsolved mysteries, and I remember kind of hearing this one, and then like when you brought it up, I was like, oh yeah.
So. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about the Lava Lake murders. It's considered an unsolved mystery, although there was one suspect named Charles Kimsey. Mm. The victims were 3 men, Edward Nichols, 50 years old, Roy Wilson, 35, and Dewey Morris, who's 25. And it's actually considered one of Oregon's like oldest unsolved murder cases. So,
cool.
Yeah. Okay, so... in the fall and winter of 1923 to 1924, the 3 men, they all went to a cabin by Lava Lake to work as fur trappers. I guess like they were loggers, and it's kind of like hard to be a logger or something like that in Oregon.
Very so they, manly men.
Yeah, so they just went to go do fur trapping to like make some extra money or something like that. They stayed in a cabin that belonged to a man named Ed Logan. And so in exchange for them like being able to stay at this dude's cabin, he was just like, just watch my foxes that I have. And they were like, okay. I guess he just had like a pen full of foxes that he was raising for fur.
I wonder if that's a normal question people get in the backwoods of Oregon. Hey, can you watch my foxes over the weekend? You bet. If you watch my wolverines later. Sorry.
Yeah. So then, yeah. So it was Christmas time, I guess. Wilson and Nichols... these are their last names. Okay. They snowshoed back to Bend to visit family and friends, as well as to sell fur. I guess they claimed that they were doing good, that, like, trapping was going good. I don't really know.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I'm like, they were getting lots of furs. Yeah. I don't know.
They caught animals and they trapped them.
Yeah. I guess Wilson had told his mom that he would be home in February. And so I guess the last person to see the men alive was Alan Will Coken. I don't know. All these names are kind of crazy. But I guess he was the owner of Elk Lake Resort, and he had stopped by the cabin and spent the night on or around January 15th. And he claimed that everything seemed normal. They were all happy and in good health, just like normal dudes. Nothing seemed like wrong. No one seemed in distress. So in April, 2 months after Wilson had told his mother that he would be home, no one had heard from any of the men. And people began to worry, especially Dewey's brother. He started to get really worried that something just like awful happened. Like he had this terrible feeling. So Dewey's brother, Owen Morris, a guy named Hervey Ennis and a former friend named Pearl Lins, I don't know. And the superintendent of, okay, I wrote so tiny. What the heck did I write? Tumalo? I don't know how to pronounce any of these words. I'm so sorry. Okay. Fish hatchery. So
you know what? It doesn't matter because the way Oregon pronounces things, yeah. it doesn't matter.
There's so many crazy Oregon names in here. I'm just like, okay.
It doesn't even matter how you're pronouncing. Even if you thought you were pronouncing them right, because it's Oregon, it's wrong. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then just another random person who knew the area well went to investigate. So when they get to the cabin, it's abandoned. Inside, there's burnt food in pots that were on the stove. The dining table was set for dinner or like for a meal. Breakfast was left on the table. Rifles, traps, and heavy clothing were found inside, which like just they were like obviously they weren't going anywhere since they left all this stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just they were like, okay, obviously they didn't like plan a trip or anything. All their shit is still here.
Mm-hmm.
Magazines and paper were scattered around. So then I guess the skin rack and dryers that they used for the furs were found to have been neglected. And oddly enough, they found a cat that was like emaciated and like literally looked like he'd been starving for like a month or two. And he was still alive. Aww. But they also like used that kind of as an indicator, like, okay, it's been a while since like anyone's been around because this cat is like freaking out. So the fox pen where all the foxes from, you know, the dude whose fucking cabin they're staying in, Ed Logan, were missing. And inside the pen was a blood stained claw hammer. And that was like their first like,
whoa,
weird like thing they came across where they're like, okay, this is concerning. So I guess too, the men's trapping lines, whatever that means, I don't know if it's just like cages or what, it had the remains of 12 marten. Do you know what those are?
No, it maybe a weasel.
I have no idea.
Actually, I think that might be like a kind of weasel. It's,
yeah,
did it say how to look, spell it?
Marten.
Martens. Oh, they're like cute little, I don't know. They're like weird, cute little weasel foxes. Aww. I think they look more like, kind of like weaselish. I don't know if you can see them.
Oh, yeah. Sad. Oh, they look kind of like a Wolverine or something.
You know what's funny? A little bit, but like bushier tails, and they look much cuter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 12 of those, 4 foxes, and 1 skunk. So this also was just like an indicator, like, okay, like they haven't checked their lines, like all these animals are out here dead, like they've been missing for some time. So the following day, Logan, the Ed Logan guy, the guy who owned the cabin, joined the search, as well as another crazy name, Deschutes County Sheriff, Clarence A. Adams, who was a former district game warden. So, and Adams, I guess, was apparently very familiar with the area, and he even knew, like, the general layout of the men's trap lines, stuff like that. Like, he kind of just was an expert or whatever of this whole area.
Yeah.
So they all go and set off for Big Lava Lake, where they would soon make a gruesome discovery.
I also do sound effects.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So then, they found the men's missing sled, the one that they had noticed was missing earlier when they searched the cabin, half submerged in snow with dark stains, which were later confirmed to be blood. And on the edge of the lake, the ice had a depression from where it had been cut and then like froze again. So like like there was a hole that was cut, mm-hmm. and then it had like frozen over again like during that time. And then along with that, they found brown human hair.
Ooh, did yeah. they? Okay. Does it say in what capacity they found it in? Like, it was connected to skin?
No, like, that's maybe so weird. Just clumps of it or something. I have no idea.
Like a weave? Yeah. What the fuck, bros?
So then they continue searching. They find beneath a tree the carcasses of several foxes who had all been skinned, and it said expertly.
Ooh.
And I don't know, I guess they believe that these were Ed's foxes, that guy who owned the cabin. Yeah. I don't know, it doesn't like confirm, it could have been.
Sure.
But yeah, there's missing foxes, then they find all these dead foxes under
doesn't
a tree.
Doesn't matter, finding a bunch of skinned fucking yeah. foxes is creepy enough.
And it was weird too, in this article I read, it was like, which was Adam's main reason he was out here. I was like, he was out here just for the foxes, yeah. like not the men. But anyways, I was confused. I was like, okay. So then as they continue searching, they found more blood, more hair, and a front tooth in a patch of snow.
Just one tooth?
I know. I thought it was
one tooth.
Yeah. So then, okay. So the following day after this, they're like, okay, like something seriously happened out here. They send out searchers by boat into like the broken ice, I guess I had like thawed enough so they could kind of get into like the lake, where they found the bodies of all three men, and they had, I guess, floated to the surface of the lake, and they were wrapped in canvas.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Roy Wilson was shot in his right shoulder and behind the ear. Dewey Morris had been shot in the left forearm and also had a skull fracture, presumably from the hammer in the fox pen, mm-hmm. question mark? That's what I put. I don't know. And then Nichols had been shot in his side, and his jaw had been shattered by a shotgun blast, and he had a bullet hole in his head, Jesus. Likely from a revolver. Yeah, so they had estimated that the murders had occurred in late December of 1923 or January of 1924, but then with that whole account of that guy coming to stay with them in January, like, they're like, okay, it must have been, like, January that this happened, kind of a thing, so.
And they ruled this man out?
Yeah, I guess so, oh. Because, I don't know, I guess he was, like, a reliable guy, I don't really know.
Uh-huh, it sounds like we know who did it.
Mystery solved.
That's right, we solved it, don't worry, Oregon.
So, this was from the official police report written by Claude Mc whatever the fuck Coley I don't know,
it's Claude whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he wrote, even though the weather was perfect, the clear air was impregnated with the odor of death and decomposition, and it was with an undefinable spirit of awe and consternation
yeah,
that the little party of hardy outdoormen laid aside their packs, kicked off their snowshoes, and prepared to tackle the grim, which was little to their liking.
Okay, I'm gonna say it right now. This man is practicing for his detective novel when he becomes self-published. That's literally like, what he's fucking yeah. doing.
So the next day after they found the bodies, tons more people flooded in, like brothers of the men, just like random people all from the area, whatever. But I guess they all agreed that whoever had committed the crime was like an expert woodsman. Like, because they also claimed like these men, because it's like three like grown men, like,
yeah.
I feel like it's also just like kind of creepy, like three men like all murdered, like just like random stuff left behind. It's kind of just like weird, I don't know, like
it makes you really want to like go through the events one by one.
Yeah,
where did it start? Was it all three at the same time? Like, what yeah. the fuck happened?
Yeah, they believe they were, like, lured, like, one by one kind of a thing. But, yeah, so, apparently, so this is, like, a suspect they think maybe did it. A man named Lee Collins, who he had worked at Elk Lake Lodge, had fought with both Nichols and Logan and had been charged with theft of property from Nichols. And, at the same time, Collins was also to have been believed to have stolen one of Logan's expensive fur coats, and then he apparently threatened to come back and kill Nichols because they all just like were fighting, like, you stole my wallet, you stole his coat, like,
oh
whatever. So turns out the Lee Collins guy, or whatever the fuck his name was just an alias, and he was actually like that Charles Kimsey guy. And he had been arrested in 1923 for robbery and attempted murder in Bend, Oregon, I guess that's a mm-hmm. place, where he had hired some guy to take him to Idaho. He fed him poison, and then he threw him down a well.
Oh, fuck.
His name was just, like, there's lots of people where their names were just, like, initials, like W.E. Harrison. So, yeah, Harrison miraculously survived. He vomited up the poison, crawled out of the well, and found help at a nearby ranch.
Yeah.
And then, I guess
I'm just picturing, like, not even a deep well. Like, how
I deep know, and, like, well? How did he crawl out of it? Like, that's what I was thinking.
I'm picturing, like, the Walking Dead well with, like, that bloated, like, zombie at the bottom. Like, this big, deep fucking well. Like, how...
And I'm like, how do you get out of a well? Maybe there's a rope, but... Then again, like, you've been fed poison. Like, maybe it was just, like, really... Like, he just, like, pulled himself out of it. Like...
I'd love to see this well if it was, like, he just stood up and his, like, head popped out. Like a fucking gopher.
It's like, no wonder he fucking lived. Yeah,
he just hopped out.
Yeah. So, Kimsey fled before the trial, so he's never charged. But everyone believed that Kimsey was the kind of person who could have brutally murdered the men, luring them one by one, hauling their bodies to the waterfront on that shed, or on that sled.
No.
And then stuffing them through a hole in the ice.
Damn.
Yep. That's so
cold blood. It almost sounds like a mafia hit, dude. Yeah. This is brutal. This is so cold.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like pretty creepy.
Yeah.
So yeah. After news of the murders began to spread, an officer from Portland named W. C. Bender. Fucking, I guess.
Get it together. More initials. Oregon.
Yeah. Hopefully those are even the right initials. I don't know. There's so many W.E.s, W.C.s. Who knows? But some officer Bender remembered. Several months earlier, a man who he said was Kimsey, because he'd seen him, I guess, at this point, asking about a reliable fur dealer. He told him of Shoemaker Fur, where he sold several furs to the owner, Carl, for $110 cash, which was like $174. I'm just having a hard time right now. It's You're going to have to fix this.
We're dying of heat stroke again in this fucking house.
So, for $110 cash,
yes.
Which is $1,747 today.
It's a lot better. I was like, boy, $174 doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah. No, it's like $1,747. Okay. So, yeah, Shoemaker looked through his records, actually. Like, he went back, and he was able to find the transaction with the seller, who was noted as Ed Nichols, who was one of the guys who got murdered. So, it had been on January 22nd, which was just a week after that Will Coxon guy went and stayed with them at the cabin and was the last one to see the men alive. So, whoever sold the furs used his trapper's license and was responsible for the triple killings.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Kimsey could never be found and was searched for years to come, and the case was almost forgotten until 1933 when he was captured under a new alias, Bob Bales. He was found in Montana. He denied, like, even doing the crime, and he produced an alibi, which was surprisingly here in Colorado. He was working on Moffat Tunnel or Moffat.
Moffat? That Moffat sounds right, but I still don't know what that means.
And apparently he had eaten Christmas Eve dinner in the tunnel, which they called, like, the people, like, whoever he worked for in the tunnel, and they actually were like, yeah, he actually, like, was here. So the case began to fall apart, and then the witnesses, the cop and the fur guy, both couldn't identify him, like, even though Bender claimed he would never forget the face. When he saw Kimsey, he was like, I'm not really sure it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just the fur guy dealer was like, I refuse to identify him. He's like, I don't, it's like some guy's life. Like, I don't want to do it unless I'm sure, like, yeah, for sure it's him. So after that, like, the case kind of fell apart. Kimsey was never charged with the Lava Lake murders, but he was charged with that attempted murder, finally, of Harrison, the stagecoach driver. And yeah, those are that's the unsolved mystery of the Lava Lake murders. So
damn, that
pretty,
is like,
yeah, pretty interesting. And then just before I forget, my sources, I used, like, this article on Mental Floss by Sonia Vatomsky.
Cool.
Thank you, Sonia. And then Wikipedia. But yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting, kind of crazy. So
yeah.
That
is, well, 'cause eerie. I, like, you know, saw that story. and I didn't click on it because, like, I want to know what it's about. Yeah. Like, it was unsolved for so long. Like, people in Oregon are kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And then John, I was like, I mentioned it. He was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I was like, you have? Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, almost like, everybody's heard of it, dummy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had not heard of it. So, yeah, I'm happy to know that now.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Sorry, I wanted to see if I could find any, like, photos, but...
Nah, it's okay. I'll dig some up.
Yeah, like, it just felt like all the pictures they have are, like, kind of, like, creepy, just, like, eerie, like, just, like, adds to the story, you know, kind of, like, you should look them up, but...
Okay, are they all black and white?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kind of weird, like, I don't know, yeah, but, yeah.
And I'll, you know, I'll post some on the Facebook page. Yeah. So... Oh, yeah, it's Sweet Sweet Death on Facebook. and I did make an Instagram, but I realized I was like, I don't give a shit about this. So I didn't. I have not touched that. We have an Instagram page.
Maybe
that,
I could.
If I'll give you full reign of it, please. Because, like, I don't want to. I have an Instagram page. I've literally never posted one thing. I'm on Instagram to follow shit on Instagram, yeah, and that's it.
I kind of do the same thing. Yeah. I have, like, some posts, but... I rarely do. I think the last time I posted was, like, February or something like that. So.
Yeah. It's like, I go to Instagram for people with talent. I want to follow tattoo people, cake people, artists, shit like that.
That's what I do. I follow just people who, like, make shit, like, weird, like, little bats and bugs and weird things like that. Just like
yeah. Oh, shit. I feel like I started following someone new. It doesn't matter. I'll never... fucking figure out who it is. What the fuck? I just clicked on it and it's like a clown carrot. What the fuck? it's a clown carrot.
Literally.
Oh yeah, because this guy Jim McKenzie, he does look cool as shit. So he's an artist, but he did this I don't remember what it was called, like not Kiss of Death or something of death, but he did this whole animation sequence of like him putting together. He, like, did stop motion of himself making this little claymation, like, skull that's and, like, cute. A little hoodie holding a butterfly surrounded by flowers. Aww. It's that's adorable. Cool. If I can figure out a way to send it to you or maybe even just fuck it, post it on Facebook and see what happens to watch nobody like it.
Our four listeners
that we've told people to go listen to our shit.
My sister and no,
right. Shout out to our sister. Thanks. Yeah, and then I wish we knew what we were doing as far as audio goes, but we don't. We're trying so hard not to sound shitty, but as two girls that are bad at this, it's not gonna get much better. Someday we'll have someone.
One day, yeah.
One of these days. Not today. Not next week. And then, we're jumping over to Washington, right, next week.
Yay.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, it's been a weird week. It's been a long week. We'll fucking see you next week.
Woo.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Stay bummed.
Yes. And stay sweet.
We'll get it together next time. All right.
Bye.
Bye.